Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin.
Hello. Hi. I'm waiting to be on cue. Hello. Hi. I can't hear you. I can't hear you at all. Hello? Nothing. Hello? Nope. I can't hear you. I have no idea why my messenger isn't working. It's on. My microphone's on. I can't hear you. Gotta let you go.
Sherry, can you hear me now? How's that?
I can hear you now. What happened?
There's just some weird thing with this technology. I think it's the actual program that I have to call in with.
Yeah,
so I
can hear you. You said you can hear me, and I can hear you, and it's weird. I have no idea what's going on. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So we're
well,
on tonight.
Well, let's start all over. So maybe nobody even heard me talking in the beginning. So let's just pretend that technology did not have a hiccup. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Paranormal Horizons. And it has been 4 or 5 weeks since we've been live. But we are live tonight, and I did have a paranormal thing I did want to cover. I was hoping we could talk a little bit about the paranormal because we stray so often from it. So I felt like maybe it's time to talk a little paranormal. What do you think, Sherry?
Yes, I went and I just want to share Ian Tongi. He was on our show in March, end of March. We interviewed him. He's in the contending at the top two right now. So anybody who wants to vote for him, you can vote for him and text. You can text 21523, and you can go. The number would be 21523, and then just text number 12. You can do it 10 times, and you can go on the American Idol app if you want to. You can text that. You can vote for him up to 10 times. So. There was three of them. Megan was put out. She was taken out, and now it's him and Colin. So what they're doing right now is they're having America vote to what is the best singer to, you know, be the contender. I feel that I get the feeling that Ian's going to take the win. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, I definitely will throw in a few votes. I really hope that Ian wins, and I guess we'll just have to see how that pans out.
Yep, you got to vote before 8 o'clock, though. No, you have to vote in 45. No, you got to vote by 7:45. So the voting opened up. Let's see. The voting, no, by 8. I think it's about 8 o'clock or something like that, I think. I don't know. You just got to vote as soon as possible. So I just kind of put it out there. And a lot of the Hawaiians, a lot of my peeps from Hawaii and you know, from Vietnam and all these other places and the mainlanders, they're voting. A lot of them are voting for Iam. He's a young kid, an empath, 18 years old, phenomenal voice. Like I said, when he was on my personal Facebook Live 2 years ago, he's going to be going places. And now he's on the top 2, and I wouldn't be not surprised if he's already going to have some recording contracts, at least 2 to 3. Easy. So phenomenal. Hawaii, they had over 30,000 people watching him. And he put on a free concert with Common Kings and a couple other well-known Hawaiian bands, big bands that've been, you know, mainstream. So, yeah, they welcomed him with open arms. It's amazing. I'm really happy for him. And I'm proud to say he's a patient and a client of mine, so for the last 2 years. So I'm really proud.
Well, I think that's a testament to your abilities, because you said he was going places a couple of years ago, and he's certainly going places. That's quite an accomplishment, even just to make it into American Idol, you know. But let alone to be close to the finals, it's pretty amazing.
A lot of people go and fight for the, you know, they go and not really fight, but they, you know, they try and compete for, you know, trying to get to Hollywood. So they go through, and if you can get to Hollywood, you have a little bit of a higher chance. And then just, it's all about, you know, kind of like they just, a process of elimination, let's put it that way. So there's a lot of good singers there, a lot of good talent. But I guess, you know, I like it. I like it when the judges don't vote. I like it when they have the audience vote, because they can figure out, you know, who they want to win, who's the best person to, you know, to represent the people.
It's nice that the judges aren't voting, because everybody kind of has, particularly if you're a judge, I would assume, has preconceived notions on what a singer should physically look like. So it's nice that the people, you know, I'm sure the judges want, you know, just these amazing model looking fantastic singers, and so it's nice to allow the public to be able to vote in mass.
Yeah, most definitely. So anyway, yes, I feel that he's going to be the winner. And, he's going to be winning. I just try and encourage people, if they want to go and vote. I just put it out there, and they want to vote, they can vote. So that way every little vote helps and, you know, gives them a little bit of a boost. So very humble. I love, he's not commercialized or anything like that. His second audition, after the first one, he went to Hollywood, he lost his voice. And at the end of February, I actually was doing a treatment on him. He did not. He had to have his voice back so he can go and do his second audition. So we got his voice back and got his lungs cleared out. And he's amazing. Sinuses, everything got cleared out. Yeah.
Well, wish him the best of luck. Hopefully he makes it and wins it and gets into the finals. And then we could say that, you know, if he ends up winning it, that we actually had a American Idol winner on Paranormal Horizons.
Well, I'll have him back. I will have him back. I mean, he's done me favors before, you know, and 2 hours. Then we just had him on for in February. No, March. It was end of March. We had him for an hour. So anyway, yeah, just encourage everybody. Go ahead and get the number at 215-23 and just text 12 and just hit 12 10 times, and then you can hit the American Idol app. It's amazing. I just want to see him. I really want to see him. He's just so humble, and I know he's gone through a lot with his dad passed away, but just a really, really sweet family man. I mean, like a family guy. You know, he's part of the family and everything, so it's awesome. So it says the voting ends, we'll close at the last commercial break, which will probably be at 7:40. No, is it 7:45? Yeah, I think 7:45 the commercial break will end. So, yeah. Anyway, let's change the subject. What have you been up to, Jason? What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, let's do a little life update. I don't have really anything to report the last month. Nothing terrible has happened. Nothing fantastic has happened. It's just been kind of the doldrums of, you know, Monday through Friday working and being lazy on the weekend. I don't have a lot of to report on the whole personal life. Nothing's going on. What about you?
Well, I've been doing readings. I've been on tour for a couple of times. And, things are going pretty well. I'm pretty happy. And my new puppy, he's adjusting really well. He's a mama's boy, and I'm just real happy with both dogs. They just so have their own personality, and they're so, one's tiny, and the other one is huge and humongous. So you get a choice of different personalities, and I enjoy them. I love them dearly. I never thought of being a two-dog owner.
Well, it sounds like you've been busy. What have you been keeping your finger on the pulse of the paranormal the last month? Have you noticed any interesting stories
not
or anything
really.
Like that?
Not really. Not too much in the pulse of the paranormal. I've been just kind of, you know, just, well, I've been reading and doing readings, but mainly Chinese medicine. I'm doing, you know, psychic readings, Chinese medicine readings, psychic readings. So, you know, just been doing readings and loving it. It's going to be my 22nd year in August. 24th. Why am I saying 22nd? 24th year in August. So I'm just, I love it even more. I really do. I just love what I do. So I love serving people when I can.
Cool. Well, it sounds like we're both busy, and hopefully everybody listening is busy as well. So I, in keeping with the subject of the paranormal, I found something to talk about, which was the what are the top haunted schools in the United States?
Ooh, that sounds good. Oh, wow. That's something different. Yay.
It is a little bit different. You know, we talk
different.
About... Yeah, what's the most haunted place and stuff like that? But we're narrowing it down to schools. I don't know. I don't recall. I'm nearly 50 years old. I don't ever recall going to a school that was haunted. I did go to a boarding school, and that's where all the UFO boarding school, like in the middle of nowhere kind of thing in Northern California, where all the UFO stuff happened. But I don't ever recall going to a school that I ever perceived as being haunted. How about you?
No, I haven't. Not that I know of. I haven't at all. I know that the Edgefield is supposed to be school haunted. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, I actually did Edgefield, which for those aren't aware is actually very close to where I live. It was a poor farm, and it's this big complex. It's kind of ritzy now. It's got restaurants and a theater and a big hotel. There's one particular room that was reputed to be haunted there. I think the whole place is haunted, but one room in particular where guests fill out a guest book on their experiences. And as I recall, and this isn't school talk, but this is just a personal story before we get into that. So this place is reputed to be very haunted. There's this one evil room. I don't remember what room it was, but at some point when they were remodeling, they found like people doing rituals in the room because they found some sort of like pentagram on the floor and stuff like that. And people report all sorts of crazy happenings in this room. So what did I do? I was paranormal investigating at the time with a group that I co-founded, and we went in there and stayed the night. Like, we had the full setup. Like, we had like the public access television camera because somebody
got
public.
Really?
Yeah, we had all the gear, a bunch of professional equipment, and one of us elected to stay the night, and nothing happened when I was there to anybody, and then the person that stayed the night, you know, he slept great, like nothing happened. So, but yes, if anybody up here in Oregon wants a haunted place to check out the Edgefield. It's a Miniman's property.
Did you feel anything?
No. Well,
did you feel anything yourself?
So when we went there, I did not feel anything in that room, but I sensed something in the room that was next to it. And I was like, you know, I'm not feeling anything here, but there's something weird going on with the room next to it. Nobody was staying in the room next to it. And come to find out, the guy that slept in the haunted room was like, man, it sounded like furniture was moving all night and bangs coming in the room out of the room next door, which is the one that I sensed. So I guess that kind of validated my intuition that something's going on with the room next door to the allegedly most haunted room. And I picked up on it.
Wow.
So, yeah. But it's a really cool place. I mean, it's really, like I said, there's like a winery, there's wine tasting, there's a theater that you can eat your food while you're watching the movie. Just all sorts of buildings, huge hotel. It's kind of a place to go. They hold concerts out there. And yeah, it's pretty neat. It's owned by McMiniman's, and I think that's kind of a regional thing up here in the Northwest. They own a bunch of restaurants and places like Edgefield, and it seems like every property that they buy is haunted. There are several of them. You did your investigation at that McMiniman's out in the West County, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so they're all creepy. They got creepy they deliberately put up these creepy ass paintings in all these places and stuff like that. So
they buy places that are like the one in Forest Grove that we did I created a paranormal investigation. It was two teams, and one of the teams was with Clyde Lewis, radio show and TV personality Clyde Lewis and his wife, and we did that a couple of years ago, and that was really strange. You know, I don't particularly care for paranormal investigations. I've been on two. I won't do it again, but definitely some stuff. It used to be a children's home. It used to be a hospital, became a nursing home, and then a hotel. So can you imagine all the activity that is possibly coming through there?
Yeah, I don't find much pleasure in investigating like hotels and stuff like that. Out of all the investigating I did, and I don't even know how many investigations it was, there were only two times I did a business, and that was, one was Edgefield and one was the White Eagle Saloon, which is another, I think it's McMiniman's, that was haunted and connected to the Shanghai tunnels. All the other investigations I did was in people's houses, which is way more interesting than just going to a haunted hotel or haunted restaurant.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, just there's a lot of places. I know downtown Portland. I think they bought a mortuary. So like you said, they buy the most unusual places. But downtown somewhere, and I don't know the exact location, but they did buy a mortuary.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's part of the thing is they probably seek out really old and reputed haunted locations, because everyone that I'm aware of that they own has been reputed to have been haunted. Kennedy School, White Eagle Saloon, Edgefield, that hotel you did, they think they're all supposedly haunted, but It's good fun. Check, and you know, on top of all that, they have great food. You know.
Exactly. So. They do. The service, it could be a little bit, you know, better. Sometimes it can be a little bit subpar, but it just depends on the time of day, and they've got help and all these other things. But I think that you know, they, you know, their food is pretty good for what it is.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's like bar food. It's not like eating at Nobu or anything, you know.
Exactly.
But we kind of got on a tangent, so I'm going to take a moment and talk about the most reputed, most haunted schools. I don't know if this is really accurate. I mean, I feel like this is just one person's opinion. But it's kind of broken down into four sections. So you have the Western United States, the South, the Midwest, and the Northeast. And so we'll start with the West. Anchorage, Alaska, Nightmute High School. Now, it doesn't surprise me there would be a lot of haunting in Anchorage. Anchorage just has such a history. And I have friends that have lived there recently, and it is just a drug den, crime-ridden, nasty place, from what he told me.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, apparently it's terrible. And, but that's just one person's opinion. I'm sure people live there and love it. But this Nightmute High School, if the name doesn't give you the heebie-jeebies, there was a story that came out where a grave was discovered underneath one of the classrooms. And ever since they discovered the grave, there's said to be a little girl that haunts the school's bathrooms. And she's known to flush toilets and flicker the lights on and off. That kind of sounds like Harry Potter. I don't. You probably haven't seen the Harry Potter movies, have you?
Wow. No, I haven't.
Oh, well, there's this one in one of the movies. There's a girl that haunts the bathroom. So if you're going to Nightmute High School in Anchorage, Alaska, you might want to keep your eyes open to see if there's any paranormal activity in one of the bathrooms. I mean, there's a lot of reasons lights can flicker on and off. And there's even situations where toilets can flush themselves. So I don't know if that's actually haunted or not, but apparently they say it is.
Well, with technology the way it is, you can possibly just go and just record everything. You know, just hopefully you got somebody there with you so they don't say, oh, yeah, there's somebody else. You know, oh, you're just making that up.
Yeah, I am one of those people that have to see it to believe it. I'm skeptical right out of the gate.
Right.
But you
got to
be.
Oh, my gosh.
So much nonsense going on out there. So if we travel down to the South, what is the most haunted school in the South? And apparently it would be El Paso High School. The school has a reputation for all kinds of paranormal activity. Sometimes people find the hallways filled with mist, unexplainable goo drips from the ceilings. And there was even the discovery of hidden classrooms beneath the building. Apparently,
really?
Some photos were taken there with pictures of ghosts that weren't like students and crazy stuff like that. I mean, I'm really curious on the goo. Anytime I hear about a haunting where like the like blood running down the walls or goo dripping down the ceiling, it piques my curiosity. I'd love to collect some of that and look at it under a microscope.
Knowing you, yes.
Normally, well
yeah,
because I work in a laboratory.
This is definitely something you want to film with somebody else, you know what I mean? Just in case there's not somebody's not going to accuse you of or feigning it or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. You just never know. So many people want attention. They fake stuff or blow it out of proportion. But I would love to see a bunch of goo running down the wall, man. I'd put some in a container, take it to work and look at it under a microscope and see if it's
That's
blood
true.
Or stuff like that.
But, yeah.
Normally when I think of goo running from down ceilings or walls, I feel more like you have some other problem and that's not paranormal, but I don't really know what would cause goo, even if it wasn't paranormal. I'm trying to think, and unless you have some like weird rotting behind the walls or in the ceiling, yeah, I don't know.
But oh, apparently, wow.
Yeah. El Paso High School has got some sort of paranormal honey running down the walls.
I wonder how you can how you can go and tame that.
And then, so let's drive a little bit to the Midwest in Florissant, Missouri, Parker Rhodes Elementary. And apparently this school was built on an old cemetery. And in the 1950s, it was ordered that all the bodies be dug up from the cemetery and moved to a different area. But there's still rumors saying that this elementary school, there's rumors that one body got left behind, and the ghost of the dead body haunts the school. And also this ghost only likes kids, and the kids are the only ones that see it. The teachers or other faculty never see it, but it always appears to the kids. And they've seen it in the bathrooms, and they've identified her as a woman in a black dress with long, wavy blonde hair, and this is the best part, with no eyes. Now, that actually is terrifying.
Ew. Wow. Wow. No eyes?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like something I'd want to see.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
It's interesting, though. We've heard in the past that children, particularly very, very young children, seem to be able to see past the veil, like to see things that adults can't see. And that could be a testament to that. Elementary, I don't know how old are people that go to elementary school?
What's that?
I don't, how old are What ages are at elementary school? I don't even know.
Well, 5 to 8, 9? Yeah. Well, elementary is 1 to 5, right? Or 1 to 6? Or no, 6, 7, 8 is immediate. Middle school, so 1 to 5. First grade to 5, 4,
okay.
To kindergarten.
Yeah, so, you know, kids allegedly can see things that adults can't, because us as adults, we've closed ourselves off to the paranormal largely, or being able to perceive a lot of things. And maybe that's why the children at this elementary school are the only ones that see the spirit. It's just because they're young and they're not closed off to see those sort of things.
Exactly. They don't have preconceived notions, or their ego gets in the way.
Yeah. Just to be honest, as adults, we have to deal with so much stress and just nonsense that, you know, our brains are probably programmed not to really pay attention to things, unless you specifically open yourself up to it. But just the average person just dealing with paying their bills and going to work and not sitting around trying to focus on seeing ghosts. I know I'm not, because I don't want to see ghosts, I'll tell you that much.
Not the grind, yeah. That's true. Wow. So, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we don't know about, and things just because we can't see them, hear them, and feel them doesn't mean that they don't exist.
Absolutely.
Oh, love the list. So you keep on going? Are you going to keep on?
I got one more. I'm looking at it, and it seems to be more UFO related in Massachusetts. It's, I'm a little confused because it says Westhall High School, but then it says Melbourne, Australia. So I don't really understand. But apparently there's a school there that is allegedly built over a portal for psychic energy. And what it does is it draws things into the town, such as UFOs. And apparently there was a mass sighting in 1966. And a lot of people in the town reported seeing the sighting, which remained mysterious. And I guess this is in Australia. And it was the largest mass witnessing of UFO in Australian history in 1966. And basically what happened on April 6th, I'll say it one more time, 1966, a class of students and a teacher from West All High School were outside when they saw a gray saucer-shaped craft hovering over them, then took off and descended in a nearby field, and I guess it left. So this school, apparently, that's built on a portal for psychic energy in Australia, is a magnet for paranormal activity, but primarily all UFOs.
Wow.
That'd be cool. I'd be sitting out there in a lawn chair all day looking for UFOs.
What about funeral parlors? No.
But that's my list. I just thought it was interesting. Those are some of the most haunted schools, mostly in America, and then the one in Australia. But I could always come up with more.
Yeah, it's all interesting. And if anybody wants to go and you know, call in and share your stories, there's nothing embarrassing or anything, and just share your stories or any type of tips or anything, go ahead and let us know, you know, about it. You can call us at 1-215-383-3999. Again, it's 1-215-383-3999.
And another thing that I can talk about, if you want me to keep going on the haunted location, is specifically haunted locations in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. Really? In Las Vegas, huh?
Yeah. Of course, you have the Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures Haunted Museum. Obviously, it's probably the most haunted place on the planet because he holds all the cursed artifacts and stuff like that. But for those that don't know, Las Vegas is just a really long history, lots of violence. Even today, once you get right off the strip, I just watched this the other night on YouTube, it is a dump. I mean, it's crime-ridden, drug-ridden, just a block away from the nice hotels and stuff like that. But you used to have a very strong mob presence in Las Vegas because they were, I don't know, I think it was a Chicago outfit skimming money from the casinos and, you know, all sorts of murders and hits associated with all the casino stuff going on down there. Now, I don't think it's so much of a mob thing because those casinos are owned by corporations. But back in the early days, you know, I think they were largely owned by individuals and people got pressured into letting the mob do their thing. So they're been a lot of murders and violence throughout Las Vegas, and even some of the biggest hotels you think of. What think of one Las Vegas hotel. What's the first one that pops in your mind?
Well, it used to be Harrah's. I don't know if Harrah's is there, but El Dorado could be the Flamingo, and it's been a long time.
Oh, the Flamingo. There's one. The Flamingo was the pride and joy of notorious mobster Bugsy Siegel until his violent murder 6 months after its opening in 1947. But some people say he decided to extend his stay indefinitely. It is a haunted hotel, and Bugsy has allegedly been spotted at his garden memorial inside. He's been spotted at the garden memorial inside the wedding chapel, roaming around the presidential suite. And so apparently people see Bugsy Siegel there. People have woken up to the sounds of whispering and see dark shadows looming at the foot of their beds. No thanks.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Now you have a lot here. Do you want me to keep going? I got a couple more I can talk about.
Sure. Just if, yeah.
So there's the Luxor. Are you familiar with that one?
No. The Luxor, no. I haven't been to Las Vegas for a few years, but used to go there. Used to go there when I was little. Yeah, go ahead and continue.
So the Luxor is probably the most identifiable resort there. It's that giant pyramid, and they shoot that bright light, and there's a big Sphinx out in front.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
So there has been strange stuff going on around the Luxor since its construction began. People believe that it's more than haunted because there's just a lot of crazy things that happen. Some people believe that that location's actually cursed because, you know, it's a pyramid and they're kind of theming it after the ancient Egyptians. And they just feel that there's dark energy that surrounds this hotel. Multiple deaths have occurred, including an unknown number of workers during construction, two guests jumping to their deaths from the interior balconies, and even cases of Legionella bacteria that killed one guest and caused one or two more to fall ill. And they've also seen ghostly sightings on the hotel balconies. They've seen moving objects, apparitions inside the Luxor's Titanic artifact exhibition. Those are common. The strangest sightings were during the first 3 years of the hotel's opening. There are people claiming that they saw ghosts within the dark tunnels when they were doing the apparently they had a Nile River ride in it, and there's dark tunnels where I guess you ride in a boat. People would see dark figures in the tunnels, and it was actually it's claiming it was this a significant reason why the ride was shut down after 3 years of being in operation. I guess it was freaking people out because they see a bunch of apparitions in these dark tunnels.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on in this world. The UFO hotspot in Utah have people obsessed. Skinwalker Ranch, did you hear about that? It's on Newsweek. I'm going to give you the news clip. It's on Newsweek magazine. It's a paranormal section. This is interesting. So,
yeah, go for
Skinwalker Ranch, UFO hotspot in Utah, has men obsessed. Interesting.
What's going on with, I'm kind of skeptical of that place, to be honest with you.
Really? Okay.
It's been so beat to death with documentaries and all this stuff. I've watched the series straight through, and yes, it's entertaining, but then I'm watching it and I'm like, sometimes it just seems like pulling at strings or exaggerating stuff. And, you know, maybe there's something going on out there. I would have to be out there and experience. Once you start involving camera crews and television, then, you know, all the stuff we watch on TV is fake. Nobody does anything 100% honest anymore, you know, because they want it to keep it interesting. They're just not going to show hours of people not having evidence, you know. So you got to take a grain of salt.
It's true. And even like psychics, when they have shows on, you know, the psychic or mediums, I mean, they're great. People that have, you know, are natural gifts and everything. But the reality is that they only show you the good stuff. You know, you're not 100% as a psychic medium myself. You know, I try and strive for at least the high 90s, 100%, knock on wood, literally, you know, with all my helpers and everything. But we're all human. So sometimes you may have a bad day. Sometimes you just don't get, you know, maybe, you know, on your bad days, you may get 50% or something. You know, I remember when I first started way back, I was hitting 50%, and, you know, it's just sometimes, you know, you just off the mark. And, you're just not in tune. And so people don't realize when you have a 45-minute show or an hour show, you're going to show the best of it. This is not done, you know, within a few days. You're going to have hit and miss, and you're going to have, you know, mediocre readings and things like that. I went to see a very famous psychic medium, you know, very, very famous medium, and this person was so off the mark. We paid $75, this was about 5-6 years ago, we paid $75 a piece to be in the upper balcony. And to watch this one person perform, it was not worth it. It was really, this person was not, literally, this person had a bad night. But she's, you know, very good. She's really good. It's just we are all human, and sometimes we have to, you know, account for, okay, we may not be 100%, or we're going to be tired, or we're going to be coming down with something, or we're dealing with stress. The reality is sometimes we're not 100% or in the 80% as most, you know, psychic mediums, they try to strive for 70 to 80%. So, you know, everybody's different.
Is that like, was that one of them psychics like John Edwards where they're in bunk, they do like all this reading and communicate with?
Yes, gal, we don't want to really name names. I don't want to talk, you know, but I'm just saying it's not because he or she is a bad person, a bad, you know, the psychic or medium. It's just that this person, you know, she had a bad night. So, you know, having people that, you know, sometimes go up on stage and, you know, you get tired. It's a lot of energy pulling in. And so, you know, we have to be mindful and, you know, take account this person is just only human. Unlike me. I've had bad nights too. I try to minimize them, you know. So, yeah, it just happens. I just want to share this and let me know. This worker in real life, it's an article from Newsweek magazine. She actually shared... she spends the night at the infamous house. I don't know why, what the deal is, but this is a fairly new article, and she shares the real-life conjuring house in her average morning and what it's like when she spends the night every week in the infamous haunted house. Do you want me to read that?
Sure.
Okay, it's up to you. We can go, hey, you know, I can go on a tangent too. I'm pretty flexible.
Yeah,
most
go
people
on
get
a tangent.
Dreaded feeling, most people get the dreaded feeling the night before work, but for Madison Heisen, this is, you can read the article yourself, that feeling is likely at the extreme. Heisen works at the real home at the inspired The Conjuring. Movies and her family used to own the place. Oh, she used to own the place. Now she still works there as part of the house's operation, staying on the property for 1 week per month, during which she helps run tours and events for visitors. The home has gained fame in the 70s with a Perrone, Andrea Perrone. We got to get her on. The Perrone family moved in and consequently claimed to suffer intense paranormal activity that latter acted as the inspiration for a book series written by one of the family's children. So, despite taking form of normal day in the live video with uplifting instrumental music, Heisen's day at work is very far from normal. She wakes up after sleeping alone in the house and explains the first thing she does is check the security camera before making her way through the house, and Ouija board can be decorating the living room above the bed. Heisen says she greets the entire home every morning like praying. She doesn't get greeted back by any voices. I don't know why, it's something that I've always done. Heisen then goes on to clean the entire house, replacing the bed sheets, mopping the floors for the visitor's head. The beds and rooms are belong to look straight from the movies, even featuring old bears and dolls on each bed. A quick inventory of the house's merchandise takes place after awaiting arrival of visitors wanting a tour of the infamous house. Heisen and her family have owned the house since 2019, but it's been put back on the market last year for $1.2 million. Her father has worked as a paranormal investigator for over a decade, and Heisen has been a hand to help since the age of 13. My family always been interested in paranormal. My dad has been a ghost hunter, as we like to call it, a paranormal investigator, for the last 10 years. I started joining him on the investigation as young as 13 years old. When we saw the houses for sale a few years ago, my parents took the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to allow enthusiasts paranormal investigators to visit the infamous home, he told Newsweek magazine. Sorry about this. Okay, that happened. So,
I was going to ask you the same thing. If somebody said, hey, do you want to come here and do a reading, would you do it? I would go there. I wouldn't be worried about it too much.
Not really. Like I said, paranormal investigations is not something is really interested. I don't mind reading for people, but the investigation part is not something I want to delve into anymore. The three-bed, one-and-a-half-bathroom home is located in Rhode Island. In the 3 years I've been involved there, I had some crazy paranormal experiences. Some things I experienced in the house are disembodied voices, shadow figures, doors opening and closing on their own, objects moving, and much, much more. Daughter Heisman managed to find a niche on TikTok where she regularly shares insights of her unconventional home and even shares live streams from the home weekly. I don't have TikTok. So 1 million followers. She gives tours of every spooky room, like the basement, gives lessons on the house path, including surprising daycare run from allegedly haunted house. The basement, as reported by Newsweek magazine last year, appeared relatively untouched, with the infamous well room used by the original owners for the main water supply. When I'm there monthly to help care for the property, I set up a few interactive live streams for my fan to investigate home with me to communicate with the spirits there. That's it. I'm not on TikTok, so you might want to check it out if you're interested.
Well, you're missing out because I'm addicted to TikTok. So.
Oh. Huh.
I love TikTok. I just discovered it a few months ago. And I was like, and I tried Instagram and all that, and I wasn't feeling it. But as soon as I got on TikTok, it was the greatest thing since waffles.
I don't know anything about TikTok. So, yeah, is it easy to join and everything for those who have never been on TikTok?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over the news now that Montana just made it illegal to have TikTok, and, you know, the government's trying to make it so we can't have TikTok because it's owned by a Chinese company, so they're afraid that China's spying on users and stuff like that. But from what I hear, if you look at the permissions that you're giving TikTok, it's no different than Facebook or any other, Instagram and all that. And I'm not worried about it. If the Chinese want to spy on me, that's fantastic. I would much rather have the Chinese spy on me than the United States government. So more power to it. If, you know, spy on me all they want.
Wow. That's crazy. You don't want to be spied on if you can help it.
Well, we're all spied on. It doesn't matter. You know, everything even if you don't have a smartphone, you're spied on. Even if you never get on the internet, you know, our information is everywhere. And it is frightening. And this is coming from a former private investigator, how much information is out there on pretty much everyone. And that even includes people that don't put their information on social media. I mean, you can find out anything about anyone. I mean, unless you've been living your entire life in the middle of the woods, not paying taxes or getting a driver's license and like 100% off the grid, nobody knows you're alive, then yeah, you can avoid it. But if you're in any way connected to modern society, the government already knows everything about you. And it's not difficult for private citizens to find out information. I mean, there's companies that specialize in that. So all you have to do is just go pay $10 and you can learn whatever you want about somebody.
Wow. Oh, you can actually snoop on them and find out who they are and that kind of, wow.
Yeah, I actually had a friend who was trying to track somebody down, and all I had was a picture of an apartment complex, and I think I knew the state, and I was able to figure out who the person was, what unit they were in, where, you know, where they lived. I mean, it's crazy. And the funny thing is it's not hard. I mean, if you know where to look for stuff, then it's easy. I know we're all over the map, but we're always all over the
map.
It's
okay.
But since we're talking about it, a lot of people, I'm sure, don't realize that anything to do with, like, the courts and stuff like that, unless something's sealed, it's public record. So you just need to figure, it's not hard to figure out court cases and get information. You just figure out what county you're in, go to the county's website, find their public records, and you can do name searches and stuff like that. Or if you have an address, you can go to the county assessor's website, type in the address, and it tells you who owns the property. I mean, that's just one easy example of information that's available to you. You can see what people have been arrested for, you know, what it's, and it's all right there. You just have to know where to look.
Wow. Oh, that's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, I could literally within 30 seconds, I could type you in and see if you've ever had any parking tickets, traffic tickets, criminal offenses, civil cases, collections, anything.
Wow.
But I'm a pro.
Yeah,
man, I won't do that to you. or will I?
Yeah, that's not good.
Anyways, the point being is we're all out there. The government's spying on us. You know, and there's no way to really avoid it.
Yeah, there's no way to go to getting around like that unless you decide you want to go and be, you know, you don't have anybody. You know, you're going off the grid, literally going off the grid.
Yeah, and that includes, you know, if you're off the grid, you're finding your own food off the grid. You're not going to a store. They've got CCTV, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. It's really scary. It truly, truly is. And that's why there's so much problems with identity theft, you know? People, I mean, steal your mail or hack your computer or just Google. I mean, you know, you just Google.
Yeah, what do you do? You know, there's some measures. You know, they have these people, you can get these firms that they say, oh, we can help you with that kind of stuff, helping you with identity theft or prevent you. And that. I don't, you know, you can take precautions, but I don't think everything's 100% foolproof.
Yeah. So
just try to take precautions.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Don't leave your wallet or your checkbook in your car. Don't, you know, download sketchy apps on your phone. The government's going to watch you. There's nothing you can do about that. But you want to try and keep away, like, the real bad actors that are trying to steal your identity and stuff like that.
Sometimes if it's not, yes, but you want to make sure it's safe as possible. That's for sure. Well, anyway, it's getting close to 8 o'clock. What are you going to have for dinner? It's dinner time.
I think it's going to be breakfast for dinner, but I wanted to close with one more haunted Las Vegas hotel casino. So unless you have anything else to add, I'll close with this.
No, not at all.
Okay, so here we go. We're going to wrap up with this, with the Horseshoe Las Vegas. In 1980, one of the most tragic events occurred in Las Vegas. It occurred inside the original MGM Grand Resort. A raging fire engulfed one of the hotel towers that caused a horrifying death of 85 people. The building was eventually rebuilt, sold, and renamed Bally's, and then more recently, it was renamed the Horseshoe Las Vegas. Guests who stay in the refurbished North Tower claim they have experienced the overwhelming smell of smoke and the sounds of people screaming from down the hallway. It is because of this, it makes the Horseshoe Las Vegas one of the scariest haunted hotels in Las Vegas. The most chilling ghostly encounter is an elderly woman who is said to occupy a bank of slot machines on the casino floor. She is calmly playing two games at once as her dress is fully engulfed in flames. If you approach her, she disappears.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, weird. So, can you imagine seeing a ghost on fire playing slot machines? That's basically what it's saying. And on a personal note, I hate people that do that, that play more than one machine at the same time. That drives me crazy and pisses me off. But apparently there's a flaming ghost that does that at the Horseshoe.
That's weird.
So that's all I got.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't think I want to be there. I don't want to be witnessing those kind of things myself, if I can help it.
Well, you and me both. I could handle seeing it at a hotel, but as long as that stuff, I'm always afraid things are going to follow me home. Like, that's the last thing I need, is to be able, sitting and watching TV and seeing some lady on fire in my bedroom. This is not my idea of a good time. So as long as they stay where they've originated from, I'm good.
Yeah, you don't want them, and it's true. They do follow people home. It happens. It happens all the time. People just don't realize. They don't think about it. The spirits, I call them hitchhikers. They can follow you from, whether it's a hospital or whether it's a nursing home or whether it's a bar or anything like that. They will follow you. When they get you're vulnerable, they will follow you. Absolutely.
Wait, I work in a hospital. Yeah, I'm sitting with ground rules. Nothing follows me home.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Anyway, well, I'm going to plug myself in. My name is Psychic Medium Sherry, and if you decide you guys want to check me out, go on Facebook, Psychic Medium Sherry, it's C-H-E-R-I. Go ahead and get a hold of me. I'm in traditional Chinese medicine as a medical medium. I'm also a psychic and a medium. You can also get a hold of me on my website. It's Psychic Medium Sherry, small case, all one word, Psychic Medium Sherry, CHERI.com. Go out and fill out the contact form. You can get a hold of me if you're wanting a reading. So I'm there to serve, and I love what I do. So that's my plug-in for the week.
And as usual, I'm unreachable, but that's the way I like it. I live in the shadows. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and I will either see you live next week or have a pre-recorded or a past show or something like that. So with that, I've got to figure out what I'm going to eat for dinner. And if you're good, call or quits.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening in. And if there's anything we can do, just go ahead and text us or whatever. You can just get a hold of us and get some ideas in future programming. So anyway, we will be there. Hey! we're awesome.
Oh, yeah. All righty. Well, good night, everyone, and be safe.
I heard Ian just won. I had somebody say Ian just won. He won the American Idol. So congratulations.
He won the whole thing? I thought he was going into the finals.
He won the whole thing. He's the American Idol.
Kidding.
He literally won the whole thing. That's what he literally just won it. So good to see that. Congratulations. I'm glad that I'm so proud of him, not only because he's my client, but and patient, but he deserves it. He really does. He's amazing. Very humble kid. Very, very humble. Family is, you know, really, they're really good people. I love the Hawaiian community and the Asian community and the white community. I love everybody, but I'm so this thing, I'm just really so pleased. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you guys
for voting for Ian. I'll take the post down now. All right. Take care, everybody. Hey, love and peace. Much aloha to all of you, and just be kind and be safe.
All righty. Good night, everyone.
All right. Take care. Aloha.